Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Good morning, church. Good morning. Yeah, I got a scripture in Psalms 8. It says, I often think of the heavens your hands have made and of the moon and stars you put in place. Then I ask you, why do you care about us humans? Why are you so concerned about for us weaklings? In a lot of scripture, it says you have made us a little lower than the angels. But the real Greek, it says you have made us a little lower than yourself. So Lucifer got angry that God made us just a little lower than himself. And that's why he got upset. He revolted because he'd been serving God and now man was created and we're above Lucifer. And he goes, and this is what Lucifer wanted. And you have crowned us with glory and honor. You let us rule everything your hands have made, and you put it all under our power. That's what Lucifer wanted. He wanted power. He wanted to rule everything that God created. But God gave that gift to us. And that's why we're here, to thank him, because his original plan is going to come to fruition. Because what the enemy has put a hold to, God says, no, he cannot stop it. So if you're here today, God has brought you here. You didn't choose God. God chose you to hear the word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Dear Lord, we thank you for every heart that you've brought here today. We know that you choose us. We don't choose you. You choose us, Lord. You choose us to know the truth. You choose us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We thank you the Holy Spirit dwells here. We thank you that everyone here is going to be walking in the anointing of God, Lord. We thank you that the message here is from your throne and that everything will change if you walk in obedience to God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to invite Linda Enoch up here for communion. The most important part of the service, taking communion, there's power in the communion. There is healing in the communion. There's provision in the communion. And we should be taking it more often. Amen?
Yeah. Good morning. Well, they're going to start passing out the elements to you. If you're new here, they are on top of each other. Bread is on the bottom and the juice is on the next level. So don't think that you're short. And yeah, I'm short, but it's not short. So on Tuesday, we had our Mighty Women, and it was a great time. There was something that I had read, and I shared it with them, and I'm going to share it with everybody right now while they're passing out the communion. And it says, science says that we need four basic elements to survive. We need water, we need air, we need food, and we need light. Let's look at what the Bible tells us, what Jesus tells us we need and everything. Well, it tells us about Jesus. I am the living water. I am the breath of life. I am the bread of life. And I am the light of the world. So it's pretty cool that we could look at it in those terms because you know what? Everything was created by the God and everything that he made was for us. And these other elements, you know, we're talking about science. And, you know, time and time again, science has tried to prove that Jesus didn't exist, that God didn't exist, that Moses didn't exist. And every time a scientist has gone to prove wrong, they've learned that there is a God. They've learned that there are, you know, things in this world that don't line up with their way of thinking. And so, you know, they ended up getting from here the knowledge of knowing. But whether or not it was mythology or real, they found out it was real, and then it became part of their heart. And that's what we need to be doing. And he says, you know what? You weren't meant to play it safe. You were anointed to disrupt darkness, to go from glory to glory, to shift rooms. When you walk in a room, you shift the atmosphere. And you walk in prayer, and you speak fire. But when we use God's words, we're speaking fire. So it's your assignment. So you got to rise. And you know, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can't retire from the Lord. We work until our last breath. And you never know who we can even touch in the hospital. And so stop living like a spiritual orphan. You're not waiting for a vague outpouring. You've already been given access. God's blessings are not sentimental poetry. They're legally binding covenants written in blood and in fire. So the one thing that we need to be doing is we need to be blessing our home. We need to bless our children. We need to bless our business. We bless our bodies. We bless our nation. Got to take care of that too. We have authority. Now let's use it. It's important. Okay, so we almost got our elements passed out. So, oh, thank you. Okay, if you could all stand with me, please. So today, as we take communion, I want you to just take a moment and not think about where you're at. Think that you're sitting at his table, that Jesus is there talking to his disciples. We're his disciples. So think about what they're doing. Don't think about all the outside elements. The purpose of communion is to receive from Christ nourishment, strength, hope, healing, and joy. The bread signifies the body of Christ, which was broken for you. He took on all sin, inequity, rebellion, disease, grief, and shame. So if you would, please take the bread. Okay, the grape juice represents his blood shed for you to establish a new covenant. It brought you forgiveness of sin and set you apart in holiness. Please take the cup. So know that no matter where you are, where you work, where you live, where you play, where you spend your times with, this is the time that you can be that salt, that light, that hope for someone. He longs to you to bring the kingdom to earth wherever you go. He longs to lead you into a greater awareness of his love and presence in your life. May your day be filled with thanksgiving and joy of the Lord. Amen. Thank you.
How many of you know that we're not meant to fight our battles? God fights our battles for us. See, he knows exactly what's coming. He knows exactly what's happening in your body, in your life. He knew way ahead of you ever knowing. And that's the thing, is we're not meant to fight our own battles. We're meant to find rest and peace that passes all understanding in him as he fights for us. See, it's Psalms, it's actually great. I read it today because I think it's the scripture of the day. But Psalms 4:8, it says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. Not just one, but both. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, God. Oh Lord, make me dwell in safety. See, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. It doesn't matter what's happening at your job, in your life, whatever it might be. You can have peace because of who he is in your life. See, we're meant to walk in these things. We're meant to walk in the kingdom, allowing God to take hold of every single part of our life. That way, we're not just showing up to church. We're not just saying we believe in God, but we're moving in it. We're actually allowing him to do things for us, not us just trying to take them over, right? And that's it. Whew. Jehovah Nissi, fight my battle. That's the thing. It's powerful. God, this is who he is. He fights your battles. He heals your body. He does all things for us. He is the I am, right? Woo! See, these are things to get excited about because they're not just words in a book. They are real. If you trust in him, you will see him bring all these things to life in your own life. It's not just words in a Bible. So step into it and let him do what he's going to do, because I guarantee you it's above and beyond all we ever asked or thought, right? So here we go. Let's sing this again.
Okay, I shared a little bit of this with the pastor before he started his talk last week. I have been working for the last probably 25 years for our HOA. And so I had in the cloud, clouds up there. In the cloud, there were 25 years worth of files in the cloud. And 2 weeks ago, I went to access those files to do some work in them, and the girl that I'm training, both of us couldn't get access to the cloud. And so our first thought was to call Microsoft 365 to see if they could help us to find out why we couldn't get into the cloud. And they said, well, you need to whoever is the administrator of that cloud, you need to call them again to get access. So I contacted a gal that she stopped working for us last January, this past January or February, and I said, okay, the access is gone. Can you go in and give us access again? So she sent us the link. We clicked on the link, and this time the files were in the cloud. But it was only the folders. They were all empty. And so we thought, well, okay. So my next thought was to get in touch with two computer experts that we had to set up the cloud for us. And he hadn't been answering any of my requests or emails to call me for the last couple months. But I reached out again to see if we could get him, and his name was Jeremy, and we couldn't get a hold of him. Then I thought, okay, well, let me go back to the other computer expert that I used before him and see if he can give me some direction. And he got back to me and said, I'm sorry, but, you know, that's out of my realm, whatever. So I came to church on Sunday last week, and the last songs that you sang, and the clouds were up there, and I was sitting there looking at the clouds, and then the sermon was having faith the grain of a mustard seed. And so I said, okay, God, are you telling me that you're going to get this stuff back from the cloud for me? And one of the things that there were words up there too, and talking about restoring, I said, God, that's what I need, restoration from the cloud. So the Lord gave me a thought about my next door neighbor that I brought her to church with me, and she hasn't totally come yet, but we're working on her faith as well. And she has a stepson who had worked for Microsoft for 25 years. So I texted him, and he gave me some advice saying, well, you might want to look in your recycle bin. And I'm thinking, who would have deleted all those files? But as it turned out, the gal who was no longer working for our association, she thought that we were all set up. So she deleted the files off of her computer. But through wisdom and God's direction, she did not empty her recycle bin on her new computer. It was no longer tied to our association, but somehow those files were there on her recycle bin. So we have them back. Praise God. Praise God. And so that he is more than able, he has our hands, they're there. Now, the other thing I wanted to share with you And I don't know how many of you know that what's going on in Washington, D.C. this week. But there is a thing called Communion America. And what is there? It's a time to gather, not around celebrities and personalities, but for a great communion revival centered on Jesus, who is alive, well, and moving right now in this generation. And what they're having there from October 9th until the 12th, there's going to be 50 tents with nonstop worship, one tent for each state, with thousands of worshipers praying, gospel proclamation, and commissioning every night. And October the 11th, they're going to host a communion table. It's the length of the whole National Mall in Washington, D.C. And so I believe that we're able to partake of that, watching that somehow with YouTube or whatever. So just to have that in prayer, knowing that on October the 9th, there's an opening rally with the 50 tents, and that they're going to have 24/7 worship and prayer all 4 days. So if you wanted to Google that or look at what that is, it's called awakenthedawn.com. And so just wanted to share that with you. It's going to be powerful.
I don't know who this is for, but I can really feel it for somebody. A while back, Pastor Stephen Furtick talked about, I heard it on, it actually just was a snippet that, popped up on social media. But he talked about how there's kind of, this misconception that people have sometimes in Christianity, that because you got saved, life is perfect. Everything goes the way you want it to. Everything happens the way you want it to. And I really liked, because I only heard this one little part, but it was a part that, I can really feel God speaking to somebody. I could feel it in the first thing I said about the rest and sleep. And it's, something I can just still feel, really, really. So I don't know who needs this, but your life is not going to be perfect just because you're asking God for things. I actually liked that Pastor Stephen Furtick said that it's actually the opposite. He goes, you're leveling up at every point in your life, so you're going to be uncomfortable. You're not going to feel great, and you're going to feel like things aren't always the way that you want them to be, but God is working through them. He's giving you something inside of it. He's placing, I got chills. He is placing you in a position to grow you. And the longer, this isn't something he said, but this is something I can feel, is that the longer that you fight it and the longer you go against it, the longer you remain in that same place. See, God desires to move us forward. He's trying to give us things all the time. That's the beauty and the amazingness of serving a living God, is that we're not just reading things in a Bible and saying, okay, they're words, they're cool. No, it's living, because as you go after him, he speaks to you on it in a way that is specific to you. God, it's amazing. And it's powerful because it is personal. See, God will meet you where you're at in exactly the moment that you need it, the way you need it, the way he knows you need to be talked to, the way that he knows you need things to be shown to you. He will give it to you if you allow him to. See, that's the thing, is he made following him a choice. He said, I'm going to give it to you. There's two paths. There's one that's narrow and there's one that's wide. You can choose. But see, so often we let circumstance choose when we're going to follow him. Gosh, I don't know who this is for, but holy smokes, God's going to do something for you. And it's going to be powerful if you get out of the way. See, just let it go. Surrender it. Let him do what he's going to do. Stop hanging on to pieces. Stop thinking, this is what I need to do to make this work. No, what you need to do to make it work is let God. Let him do it. Let him show you he's got a hold of it. Let him show you what he's trying to give you. Let him show you what he's trying to teach you. Let him show you how to level up. Goodness gracious. See, this is the thing that is powerful for the church, because you want to be effective? Go after God. It's simple. See, God changes us, not because we do it, but because as we allow him to move in our life, he weeds things, he moves things around, he gets stuff out, and then he pours it in overflowing. Woo! It's amazing. It is victory in your life. It's the overcoming, it's the courageousness, it's all the things you need. He's got it wrapped right in him, and that's it. See, we complicate it by thinking, because you're not doing it the way I want you to, the way I think you should, and in the timeline I have, you're not working. But the truth is, that's not true. He is working, he is moving, and he is doing things, and just because it's not the way you want it to be, I guarantee you it's 10 times better. So let him do it. God is more than able. Goodness, he is above and beyond able to do everything. But we gotta let him. We gotta step out of the way. We gotta start walking in the things he gives us. We gotta start walking in those things, not just seeing and reading. But when God speaks, saying, okay, I'm gonna do it, regardless of how uncomfortable it makes me, regardless of how it feels in the moment, I'm gonna do what you're asking. See, that right there, that surrender is so important to us. If you guys want to stand, we're going to go back in. And I just encourage you, let it go this morning. Give it all up. Stop thinking about maybe how frustrated, how mad, how whatever it is you are. And just let it, give it to God. You're here today. Let him move. Let him do what he wants to do. And stop hanging on to things that get in the way of it. Gloria.
Are you mad? Glory to God. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
What if he wants to do something great in your life? What if he wants to do something fantastic? Isn't that right, Tommy? Is that right? What if he wants to do something nobody's ever seen before? Hallelujah. Who's up for that? Who's up for showing the world things about God that they've never seen before in ways they've never seen before? The world has never seen. Can I tell you, God has the handle on creativity. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
He's got the handle. Sometimes we think IBM people or IBM's not even a company anymore, is that right? Are they? Yeah. But they don't have the handle on creativity. God does. And he wants to give it to his kids. Can you say amen to that? He desires that we be lights in this world in a way that the world has never seen. And it's in a reality way. Can you say amen? It's not just an idealistic way. It's a reality way that God is real. And he is. Woo.
Yeah.
He's in love with his creation. Can you say amen to that? He loves his people. He loves people. Glory to God. If there's anything that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to bring forth in the earth, is the kingdom of God in a way that people have an evidence that they can see that God is real. That God is doing exactly what he said he was going to do. He's going to cover this earth with the glory of his glory as the waters cover the sea. He's going to do it. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. We are in a, I've been kind of going through the fruit of the Spirit. How many like the fruit of the Spirit? Hopefully you do, because you need to be in that. You need to know what this fruit is. You need to know how it works. You need to know it's not you. Can I say that to you? Can I say that you died on the cross? Can I tell you that? In a real way. You died when you first believed that Jesus was your Lord and Savior, that he died for your sins. You died with him on that cross. Were you there? Like you say, no, I wasn't there. Yeah, you were. Because God has the ability to look ahead. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient is the word. He's powerful. And he has the ability to know every person that's going to be on this planet from beginning to the end. And when he died on the cross, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, yes, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm glad that I'm at one of them whosoevers. Can you say amen to that? Are you glad? Are you glad you're a whosoever? Yeah, look at your neighbor and say, man, you're a whosoever, bro. Whosoever would believe in him. And I believe we are in the greatest time of history and on this planet, because God is opening these things up to the body of Christ, so that there is an evidence to anybody and everybody, they're going to have to stand before the Creator. Yes. They will one day stand there and give an account. Can you say amen to that? Aren't you glad you don't have to give that account? Yes. Aren't you glad that his blood has covered you? Aren't you glad that you are born again, that you now are a creation, that he dwells inside of you? Amen. Come on, man. Aren't you glad? Yes. Ooh, man. He's a good God.
Yes.
And he has great things for the body of Christ. But like my daughter was saying earlier, sometimes we got to go through some stuff. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, God's going to put some stuff in your way. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
God puts the stuff in your way. Quit blaming a defeated foe. Quit blaming him and allow God. Because the Bible says that your steps are ordered by the Lord. Every one of them. Not just the good stuff, but even the bad stuff. Can you say amen? What we would call bad.
God meant it to be.
I found a scripture. I mean, I'm looking on peace, because we've been through, I mean, we've had self-control. We've had, what else? We had faith last couple of weeks. We've gone through a lot of the fruit of the Spirit. I think there's like four of them left. I'm not sure. Goodness. Anyway. But I was looking a scripture caught my eye, because I'm thinking about peace. And how many like peace? Does anybody like peace?
Amen.
Anybody like peace and quiet? Yeah. I mean, I love peace and quiet. Come on, man. I tell you what, I cannot hear God to make a sermon where God wants me to say something when the TV's going. So I either have to turn it off, go to another room, or I put on those earbuds, what do they call them? AirPods, yeah, and I'll put some real nice music that doesn't have any words, because I desire to focus on what God has to say. Can you say amen to that? I do believe that God has men all over the earth today standing in pulpits speaking his word, truth, to the congregation. Can you say amen to that? See, I've said this a lot of times. I'm not allowed to give you my opinion. Can you say amen to that? God doesn't want my opinion out there. Is that okay? What he wants me to speak is truth. Sometimes truth feels a little wrong. It feels a little different. Can you say amen to that? But nevertheless, my God tells me to, I want you to speak it. He's taken me through some things to make sure that I speak what he gives me to speak. Is that okay? He created a path for me that was difficult in learning to speak only what he has to say. Because if I speak anything different, This is not what he's called me to do. He's called me to speak what he gives me to speak. And I can't speak on certain areas in the Bible because God doesn't teach me that way. He hasn't taught me on end time prophecy. He hasn't taught me on that. What he's taught me is on things involving the kingdom of God. And he's desiring that the body of Christ be built to a position where they stand on their own with him. They don't need anybody. They don't need a Pastor Henry to help you out. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah, you need to say amen to that. Yeah, you need to be independently dependent on God, that what he tells you is what you do. Can you say amen? Forget about what Pastor Henry tells you to do. Let him tell you. Can you say amen? We belong to him. Pastor Henry, or your good friend, your good Christian friend, didn't spill their blood for you. Jesus poured out himself for you. Can you say amen to that? So that you can walk with him. You don't need your pastor. You know, the Bible tells us that there is a building up of the body of Christ. Can you say amen?
Amen.
There's a building of the body of Christ, and he uses pastors, teachers, apostles, prophets, evangelists, and I always leave one out. But anyway, but he uses the fivefold ministry to bring the body of Christ together. Can I tell you, it's not good for you to walk away from somebody, well, I respectfully disagree with you. Can you say amen to that? You see, because we've got a spirit that dwells within us that holds truth. And that truth is going to be the same truth, whether it be in me or you or somebody else. It is the truth of God. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm telling you? Well, I respectfully, you know, I mean, well, I agree to disagree with you. Mm-hmm. Words like that are divisive. Can you say amen to that? This is not what God is doing in the world with the body of Christ. He is building us together, bringing us to a point where we all be one. Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
How many of you know that his intent is to bring the body of Christ together so that we can show this world, so that he can show his glory of who he is through us? Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Come on, we've been too long building other churches and divisive and church splits. Too long. Too long. The reason is because it won't hear the Spirit of God. God says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Yeah.
He that has an ear. Do you have an ear this morning? Do you understand that God is speaking to your heart?
Yes.
He doesn't want to talk to your head. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Yeah. Our head gets in the way. Is that right?
Right.
Bunch of big-headed people we are. Amen. Come on, man. Yeah. Hey, I'm not trying to be mean to you. But I'm just telling you the truth. God wants to talk to your heart. He cares about who you are. He knows your deepest secrets. He knows them.
Whew. Thank you, Lord.
And he says, I'm going to reach in. And by my glory, which is the Holy Spirit, I will reach in and I will pull that thing out. Can you say amen? So that you can have peace. I'm way ahead of my sermon already.
Come on.
See, God wants you to walk in peace. He desires that you have peace. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Can I tell you that you in yourself, if you're doing things that are contrary to what God has for you, peace doesn't show up in you. Is that right? How many of you know that?
Yeah.
I know if I choose somebody out here at church, I'm going to have a hard time finding a place of peace. God, what happened to the peace that I'm in? You know, I know you're in there, God. What happened? Because you have a spirit, and that spirit that's within you has a conscience. Can you say amen? And your conscience says, man, this ain't right. Your spirit might be telling you to be quiet, but your mind, your will, and your emotions, your emotions are telling you to tell that person off. Where God says, no. Be led by my spirit.
Amen.
If you can, if folks, we really got to get a handle on ourselves. Can you say amen to that? How many would agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you agree that we got to get a little bit of a handle on ourselves?
Yep.
Would you agree that we got to say, you know, God, I've got this handle right here, and I want you to take it, God. You take this handle. And if we will be real honest with ourselves, we've got to walk. We've got to walk with Him.
Amen.
If we be real honest with ourselves, God says, look, I'm going to give you something that's going to help you. And it's called peace.
Yes.
Peace with God. Do you remember when you first got saved? Mm-hmm. I remember when I first got saved. Man, I'll tell you what. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I walked out of it was an environment for electronic things, and it was cold in there, and I walked out. And I started weeping because I'd just given my heart to the Lord. And when I started weeping, I felt this, it felt like a warmth, just, I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what was happening to me. But as I felt this warmth, man, it felt good.
Yeah.
It felt good.
Yes.
And what I learned later, it was the peace of God that passes all understanding. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We're going to talk about peace today. I'm going to ask you again, how many of you like peace?
Amen.
How many of you just want to have peace?
All the time.
Anybody not have peace? I'm going to tell you something. When you gave your heart to Jesus, peace is part of the package. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
The Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit is exactly that. It's the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
It's not your peace He gives you. It's His peace. Is that right? Let's talk a little bit about this. We're going to go to a story about David. How many of you like King David?
Yep.
Anybody like not like King David? Man, I love King David. And if you will, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 19, I believe it is. Is that right? Glory to God. My grandson, he loves basketball.
Yep.
He loves basketball. He loves basketball. If there was a plate that was formed in a basketball, he'd be eating out of that plate because he loves basketball. Hallelujah. And we were talking with him, and he was going to camp with Abe and Micaiah, and they were headed for camp. And he was in this thing, the coaches wanted him to play football. And they said, man, we need somebody kind of like you, man, kind of big. He was a little heavier at that time. But and they were trying to get him to play. And he goes to camp, and he comes back, and he looks at me. And I could see it in his eye that he wanted to tell me something. He says, Tata, I asked God what He wanted me to do. And he told me, he goes, God wants me to play basketball. Hey, who am I to deny what God would do? Is that right?
Amen.
Said, man, bro, you play basketball, man. God tells you to play basketball, you play basketball. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
God tells you to wash your windows. What do you do?
Wash your windows.
Come on, man. Come on. And I love this. I said, man, you know what? But if you're going to be a good basketball player, you got to go through some stuff. Is that right?
Yeah.
You got to start training. Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, God had anointed David to be king.
Yes.
God sent Samuel to this young man and anointed him with oil to be a king. How many of you know training starts today?
Yeah.
Can you say amen to that?
Yeah.
Training starts today.
Hallelujah.
His brother's looking at him like, why in the hell did you get that? You know, what the heck? What the heck is wrong with God, man? The little guy? The guy that spends his time kissing sheep out there? What? Hey, yeah. That's the one God had His eye on. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, and so the training starts. And what we're going to read now David has fought Goliath. He's been a servant of Saul. He went out with Saul's armies, and David slew a bunch of Philistines came back in, and the women were praising David. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, David. Yeah, David. Saul's killed his thousands, but David, he's killed 10,000s. And Saul did not like that. How many of you know that? Saul didn't like it. It's not nice being the king. He's the king, and people like him better. I mean, like somebody else better than king. Can you say that? That puts him in a position of what?
Jealousy.
It could be jealousy. He could use it as a position to humble himself. Is that right? He said, yeah, that's fine. David's a good man. He's a strong man. He's a mighty warrior. Yeah, that's a good man. Yeah, hey, yeah, that's good, ladies. Praise him up. But no, he got mad. Is that right? Folks, you know, we got to be careful with pride. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Pride is something, man. If God doesn't say something to you, you get mad. If he blesses somebody else, you get mad. Is that right? Why? Because I think I'm better than that. Eh? No, come on, man. God loves us. Is that right? And every one of us have a different path. Every one of us have a different way of walking. Here, David is going through some things, and they're not very nice. The king that he serves has got his eye on him, and not for good. So we're going to start in 1 Samuel chapter 19. It says this, "And Saul spoke to Jonathan and his son and to all his servants and that they should kill David. But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted much in David. And Jonathan told David, saying, 'Saul, my father, seeks to kill you. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to yourself until the morning and abide in a secret place and hide yourself, David. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will commune with my father of you. And what I see, that will I tell thee.' Jonathan spoke good of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he has not sinned against you. And because his works have been toward thee very good. For he did put his life in his hand, and he slew the Philistine, and the Lord wrought a great salvation for all of Israel. Thou sawest it and did rejoice. Wherefore, then, wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause?" And Saul listened to the voice of Jonathan, and Saul swear, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be slain." Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
His son convinced him not to do something dumb. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan showed him all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in the times past. And then there was war again, and David went out, and what did he do? He fought with the Philistines, and he slew them with a great slaughter. Oh, boy. Can I tell you, this little piece right here is bringing it all back to Saul. Can you remember?
Yeah.
Can you remember when they said, when they were praising you and not me? Can you remember that? Yeah, I mean, it's all coming back to him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul, as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his hand. Do you see that? That scripture right there, Saul was sitting with his javelin in his hand, and David was worshiping with his hand. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Can you see the difference in these two guys?
Yeah.
There is an attitude about Saul. He's got this javelin in his hand.
Yeah.
And David, there's an attitude about him. He's got a worship attitude.
Yeah.
I guess I'm doing guitar, but I guess it was more like this. Is that right? Is that about a harpist?
Yeah.
I don't get harps, but I don't. Steve, you ever played a harp? Have you ever played a harp? No. David's doing his thing. But David's worshiping the Lord. And Saul has got his javelin in his hand. Is that right? I'll tell you, there's some people that are built. There's some people, Christians, that are sitting with their javelin in their hand. Can you say amen to that? Can I tell you, you got to forgive.
Yes.
Can I tell you that?
Tell him.
You have to forgive. Jesus told you must forgive. If you want to be forgiven, you've got to forgive. Put the javelin down. Pick up your harp. And start worshiping. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
There's an attitude in this thing that God is, I believe God's exposing to us here this morning. There's a war going on. War is happening. There, people are attacking Israel. Saul's got his javelin. David's got his harp. A king and a soon-to-be king. It's no wonder God was chose David. Can you say amen to that? It's no wonder that God was looking at him. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall, and David fled and escaped that night. Why do you think David got away? Because of God. God knows the times and the season, and this ain't time for David. Is that right? God knows, and he said, you know what? He's going to escape. Saul also sent messengers to David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, if you save not your life tonight, tomorrow you shall be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with cloth. I wonder where that came from. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. Anybody used to fool your mom and dad by doing that? Put a bunch of pillows, cover it up, and go out the window? Yeah. I wondered where that was coming from. That's coming from the Word of God. Amen. Yeah, don't tell your teenager. Kids, cover your ears, man. Yeah. And when Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, hey, he's sick. And Saul sent again the messengers to David, to see David, saying, bring him up to me in the bed that I might kill him. And when the messengers were come, behold, there was an image in the bed with a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster. And Saul said to Michal, why hast thou deceived me so and sent away my enemy that he has escaped? And Michal answered Saul and said to me, let me go. Why should I kill thee? She's lying to her dad. Can you say amen? So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel at Ramah and told him all that he had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying, behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah. David went to Saul because Saul was the one that anointed him to be king. I wonder what David might have said to Saul when he got there. Dude, man, he's trying to kill me, man. Samuel, being a smart guy, he says, you know what? Let's go on up. Let's go on up. Let's get out of here, Ramah. Ramah, the translation for Ramah is a high place where Samuel dwelt. He dwelt in a high place. But he said, let's get up to Naioth. And it was told Saul, saying that David is at Naioth in Ramah. So what Samuel did was took David and got him away so that they could get a little peace and quiet. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Because, you know, when you need something from the Lord, can I tell you something? You need to find a place of peace and quiet. Is that okay? How many of you like that? If there's anything that I love to do, is you're going to like this. I like to rake. I'm a raking expert. I wear out rakes. I rake a lot. Because raking, you know what's nice about raking? You don't got to be smart. Is that right? You know what I'm saying? I don't have to be a smart raker. I just rake. Because while I'm raking, I'm worshiping. I'm worshiping. I'm talking to the Lord. And he begins to talk to me. Scriptures become, I'll start with one, and next thing I know, it's building, and it's building, and it's building, and God begins to just speak to my heart, bring things to my attention that I might need. Hallelujah. That rake also has a tendency to hear a lot of foreign language. Come on, man. I pray in the spirit with that rake. And sometimes that foreign language sounds Japanese. Sometimes that sounds like a little bit of a form of Spanish. Because, you know, because I have a little or a little roll of my tongue while I say, hey, I'm saying, I think I might, it's not Spanish, but I think I might be saying something in some kind of a Latin culture. Sometimes I even have where I go, man, it sounds like German or something. It seems like I'm talking this and it's just coming up. And I love, once the well opens, I love to let it go. Can you say amen to that? Folks, I will tell you, the baptism of the Holy Ghost is probably the first thing that he brought to the disciples. Is that right? On the day of Pentecost, that's the first thing, because he had told them, hey, stay and wait for the promise for the Father. So they stayed and they waited for the promise. And when the promise showed up, there was fire. And there was this funny language coming out of them. Different kind of dialects. Come on, man. So my rakes hear a lot of dialect. Can you say amen to that? I don't know. But I really believe that opening the well is this communication with my Father. And my Father begins to speak things and tell me things, places them in my heart. Hey, and I can't get enough. Can you say amen? I will tell you, it's like drinking a mighty fine wine. The wine of the Spirit. Can you say amen to that? Yes. It'll get you high. Yeah. You get it high with the Most High. Amen. Is that right? Yeah. High with the chief cornerstone. Is that right? Yeah. Going to get stoned with a chief cornerstone. A lot of you potheads are going, what the heck, man? This is a church service or what? Yeah. They went to go find a place to find God. And what I love about this is that, you know, when you get in the presence of God, the Bible, I'm going to tell you what, there's a scripture that says, you know, I looked up peace, and I will tell you there are millions of, I won't say millions, but there's a lot of scriptures on peace. I really believe because God wants us to have peace. Yes. He wants us to possess it. He wants us to rest. Is that good? Is that okay? And I looked up the scripture. He tells me that this peace is a peace that passes all understanding. Can you say amen to that? Let me put that up for you. You want to put that up, Liz, please? Thank you. Is it there? Jesus said, peace I live with you. And leave it here. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I want you to look at this. I mean, Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to give you my peace. My peace. What are you talking about, God? How are you going to give me your peace? How is there any way that I can give you my peace? There is nothing. There's no way. It doesn't work that way. How many say amen to that? I've got peace. I'm at peace. Connie, let me give you some peace. Doesn't work that way. Jesus said, I'm going to give you my peace. I can imagine the disciples going, okay, all right, whatever. He says, not as the world gives peace. How many of you know the world tries to give us peace? Peace. It's not that kind of peace. It's a different kind. It's Jesus's peace. Can you say amen to that? Amen. It's his peace. Yeah. If I mean, you might have peace, but if it's not Jesus' peace, you need to get rid of your peace and pick up his peace.
Yes.
Oh, man, I don't know. Get rid of your peace. Get rid of your peace. Get rid of your peace. I'm not talking about your gun. I'm not talking about your pistol. This is my peace. This is my peace right here. It'll make peace. No, it won't, bro. Get rid of it. Can you say amen to that? We need the peace that comes from God. Is that right? Now, watch what happens. I'm going to go back to the reading. Watch what happens when peace begins to hit the earth. Can you say amen to that? It was told Saul, saying that David is in Naioth in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. They began to worship God and prophesy. Woo! This city called Naioth. Can you put that up? No, you can't put it. This the name of the city, this little place that they were at, Naioth is the name of it, and it in the Hebrew, it's called a residence. Is that okay? And it's from a word, nava. To rest at home through the implied idea of beauty and to celebrate with praises. To keep at home and to have a prepared habitation. I like that, Naioth. It is a place to have celebration and praises to God. Can I tell you, these guys showed up at a revival. They showed up at a beautiful prayer meeting. They showed up at a place where there was a place created for habitation. Habitation of what? The Spirit of God. So you see, are you creating a place of habitation in your life for the Spirit of God? Are you casting out everything that is contrary to God and allowing this habitation that God wants to do with you so he can dwell with you and speak with you and constantly lead you and guide you? Are you creating a place of habitation for the Lord? It's by your choices. These guys show up and they start prophesying. When it was told Saul, he sent some more messengers and they prophesied. And sent Saul messengers again the third time and they prophesied also. And then he went to Ramah and came to the great well that is in Shechu. And he asked and said, "Where is Samuel and David?" And one said, "Behold, they be at Naioth in Ramah." And he went there to Naioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth in Ramah. Here Saul is hit by the Spirit of God, coming there to kill David. And the Bible says here, this last verse, it says he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and laid down naked all night. And all that day and all that night, wherefore they say is Saul among the prophets. Here is something that God does. You know, the Bible says that if your ways please the Lord, he will make even your enemies be at peace with you. And that's cool. And here's Saul. He walks in to this place where David and Samuel were, and they're worshiping God. And I will tell you, when peace gets a hold of you, you don't care what people think about you. Can you say amen to that? Do you care? If you've got peace with God, do you care? I mean, there's certain areas you care, but yeah, I care that. If you know, it's not that you don't care about people, but whatever they think about you, do you really care?
No.
As long as you're walking with God, as long as you're having communion with God, do you care?
No.
I don't think Saul cared either. The Bible says he took off all his clothes and he laid there all night naked. Can you say amen to that? Who cares? Is that right? Who cares? See, there's something about the Spirit of God and this thing called peace that comes in that overwhelms everything around you. Can you see me? So let's go to this one where it says, can you, are you still tangled up? Yeah? Yeah, okay, well, let's... Let's go to... Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. I better get going because this... I got way too many scriptures for you guys. Is that okay? Can I get everybody to stand up, turn a circle, and sit down? No, I'm just kidding. The Bible says, be careful for nothing. Is that okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Can I just say this to you? How's your prayer life? Are you bringing your requests to God? Are you bringing your supplications to God? Are you thanking Him then? Or do you plan to thank Him? Well, God, when you do it, I'll thank you. It's always good to thank God that you can even get there so you can be praying, so you can even be talking to Him. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, it's good that you worship God before you go, that you get in there, and then you bring out your needs, what you want to see. Is that okay? I will tell you what mine goes like a little bit. Can you say amen? You want to hear what I pray a lot? I do this a lot. Lord, would you bless your people with wisdom, understanding?
Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord.
Comfort.
Thank you, Jesus.
Peace. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Amen? And then I start praying in tongues. I pray in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, some of you might. Some of you say, oh, okay, well, I'll do that. But I'll tell you what. Praying in the Holy Spirit is absolutely a place that we all need to get to know. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praying in the Holy Ghost is a reality that God says, I will come and I will pray through you what you need. Can I tell you that most of us, maybe a couple of you in here, don't know what's coming down the road towards us. Is that right? We've got no idea. We're just in today. And we've got nothing. We got no idea what will be happening in our lives, really, 2 hours from now,
no.
5 minutes from now.
A second.
Yeah, we've got no idea. Is that right?
Right.
But He does.
Amen.
So I would say that it is a wise thing to pray in the Holy Ghost because He knows. And He is able to do anything that you could even imagine for you. Can you say amen to that? I'll tell you, it is good. That's what prayers in my I have learned over the years, that my prayers, I just deliver what I'm thinking. We've got a lady that lost her son. Father, would you bless her and would you comfort her? Send your spirit to comfort her, and then just pray in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I mean, That's what I believe God is asking us to do, because the Holy Spirit prays according to the will of God.
Amen. Yeah.
Not according to what we want, but according to what He wants. And that's what I'm after. That's what I'm after in my life. I said, God, I want what you want. How do you like this building?
Beautiful.
I like it.
Thank
I think
you.
It's cool.
Yes.
I think it'll be cooler later on when we get it done. Is that right, Tom?
Yes.
Randy, is that right? I think it's going to be really better. I mean, a lot better. But God has a timing for everything. He really does. And God will do what He says He'll do if we just continue to listen to Him. So be careful with nothing, with everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. And then it says this, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How does that work? I got no idea. I've got no idea how this peace can keep my heart and my mind all together, all at once, except by the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Because it is the Holy Spirit that keeps our heart and our mind under control. Can you say amen to that? Because there's a lot of things you might say you're going to do that you really shouldn't do. And God is saying, we'll take care of it. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Are you okay with God taking care of things that he doesn't want for you and taking care of things that he does want for you? Can you say amen to that? I mean, see, we have to really believe that he is in control of our lives, that he has ordered our footsteps, and so no matter what comes to us, we can live through it. Can you say amen? He has given us life and life more abundant, and it comes in his will, comes through his will. Hallelujah. I'm going to go to Isaiah 26:3. I'm going to stick this in this sandwich of Philippians chapter 5, I guess, if you, the peace of God. But I'm going to stick this in there. And it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. Can I tell you, you need to trust God. Well, you know, trusting God will bring you peace. Can you say? Yeah. Yeah. Jesus said it this way, come to me, all you that are heavy laden, I will give you what? Rest. He says, my yoke is easy. And my burden is what? Is light. Come and learn of me. And I will give you rest for your souls. That rest is the same as a great peace. It's peace. Ha! Hallelujah. He will keep us in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. Because we trust him. Is that right? Yes. Trust the Lord. Now I'm going to go back to this. I'm making a sandwich out of Philippians. We're going to go back and read verse 8 and 9. I think we were 6 and 7. And it says, you know, hey, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God passes all understanding and will keep your hearts and your minds. And then he says in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, and whatever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace will be with you. Do you see how the Word of God says that he will keep you in perfect peace because you trust in him? Because your mind is trusting in him. Your mind is setting an example. I will tell you that your mind needs to be instructed by your heart. God will speak to your heart. And your heart needs to instruct your mind. Your mind might say, the doctor says, I need to do this. But your heart, God might speak to your heart and tell you, well, if you would do this, you would recover. I had a friend that his daughter had a very high fever, and the fever wouldn't come down. And he took her to the doctor, and they gave her stuff. And he said, yeah, take her home. She'll be fine. Fever wasn't coming down. Had to put her in a tub of water to try to keep her cool. And he began to fast. He said, God, I got to know what's going on with my daughter. The doctor says she's fine, but I know she's not fine. He begins to fast. And in his fast, he was on the second day of his fast, his daughter was getting sicker. And this is what the Lord said to him. It's under her bed and it's red. That's all he said to her, to him. Under her bed and it's red. He goes, she's got a lot of red stuff. Anyway, he goes into her room, starts pulling stuff out of underneath her bed. There was nothing red under the bed except for one little troll that she had gotten from her friends. You know the little trolls? Remember they had a kind of a hair and they got their hands out like this? I don't know what that's all about, but he took it and he threw it in the trash outside of his house, and boom, she recovered right off the bat. My question is, what was God doing with that? Was God trying to get little girl sick? Or was he strengthening and building up her dad? You see, that in itself brought him great peace. I will tell you, I was looking up scriptures, and there's a scripture that says, your children will be taught of the Lord, and great peace shall your children have. Can you say amen? I love it. But right before that, it talks about pavement, laying stones of sapphires and rubies and precious jewels. And when I was reading that, I began to weep because God began showing me something. He showed me that the first foundation he places you on is this, the rock. You're on the rock. Can you say amen to that? But everything you go through, God will give you a word, a vision. He'll give you something, and boom, it's a rock in your pavement. And another one, boom. And another one, boom, and boom. Before you know it, your foundation gets really, really big and expanded. And all these stones are, every one, you can look at every one and say, well, that's when I did this. And they're all testimonies of what God did in your life. And they strengthened and they built you. And the Bible says that your children are going to hear about those stones. And they will have great peace because of what God has done in your life. Can you say amen to that? Yes. Peace comes through communion with God. Yes. Only with communion with God. And when he takes you something, rejoice. Because he's building you. He's strengthening you. Oh, thank you. And if it just got to be a little red thing under her bed, come on. It became a stone. And when he's talking to me about it, he goes, let me tell you about my daughter. And he pulls a stone up and he tells, you know, I mean, not really. Can you say amen to that? But his stone that's in his foundation, God will do for you what he's done for me. Because look at this. I've got a stone. And I will tell you, those are the precious things. Those are the things that God's trying to put in every one of our lives is another stone here, another stone here. Before you know it, you look back and you see how far you've come because he has paved a highway for you. Is that okay? Is that good? God is in control of your life. Amen. He knows what he's doing with you. You can trust him and he will give you great peace. Yes. Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah.
Praise God.
The battle belongs to the Lord. Did you guys know that?
Yes.
The battle belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He will bring you through all the battles. That's his promise to you. I will take you through. And it will give you something. And that's, to me, that's great peace. Great peace can I pass on to my children. Hallelujah. Did you put up that thing about peace? Is it there? Do you have it? Peace that passes all understanding is produced by spending time with God. Peace can lead you. It can. Is that right? Tell me, how many times have you been led by peace? How many times have any of you been led by peace? Man, but that the peace of God comes upon you and you recognize it. And you go, oh, this is it. I was in Gospel Supplies years ago. You guys remember Gospel Supplies? It's still there, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, and there was across the street was a place called Po Folks. We'd go to Gospel Supplies and I'd take my kids over to Po Folks and my grandson would eat like 900 popcorn shrimp. Yeah, but I was in there one day and I'm looking and CDs had just kind of come out. I'm old, huh? Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, CD players were just out and I had gotten one and I had like maybe one or two CDs. One of them was a demonstration CD that came with the CD player. And so I said, I'm going to go find, get me some music. So I get down to Gospel Supplies and I'm looking. They got a very limited supply of CDs. And I'm looking and I picked this one up by a guy named Terry Clark. And I looked at it. Just put it back down. And when I put it back down, the peace of God came on me. And I recognized it. But I didn't do anything about it. I kept looking. it was only a little thing like that. The box was only about that wide. There's maybe six in the tray, I guess. And I kept looking, and I came back, and then I got to that one. I picked it up, and then woo! I'm gonna try this one. I took it home, and as soon as I put it on, I started weeping. I wept. I don't know, the CD might have been, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 minutes long. I wept with every song. It's something I needed. It's something that God led me by peace into. You see, peace will lead you if you let it. I could have left off and walked away, but I let it lead me. By when I picked it up, I sensed it again. Rosie and I bought a car that way. And the guy that sold us the car told us, hey, he goes, hey, man, did you buy that car? I said, yeah, because Rosie and I had prayed over the car. I wanted something that protects her. I don't know, I'm just that kind. How many of you guys seen Rosie's vehicle she drives? It's a big truck. She can't even park it. Neither can I. But I'll tell you what, she gets wrapped up. Yeah, the truck's going to take care of her. Is that right? But she wanted a small car. I wanted a bigger car. And we settled for this medium-sized car. It was an Oldsmobile Delta 88. It was a 1988 Delta 88. It was real cool looking. I liked it. I mean, ooh, this is nice. And we had told the guy how much we could pay. And the salesman said, that's too much for you. I said, really? I could get offended. Is that right? What do you mean? Too much. Do I look poor? No, you look dumb. I said, no. I said, hey, you know what? So I said, well, go ask your boss. I'm not going to go ask. So we prayed over the car. And when we opened our eyes, they had turned the lights off. It was that late. And I'm like, whoa, what happened? And it was dark. And the guy comes out and he goes, I don't know what just happened, but my boss told me to let you have it for that much. I said, really? I said, well, I notice it doesn't have a CD player, or neither does it have cruise control. Can you put that in? He goes, I don't think so. You barely got it right now. I said, well, go ask. So he goes and asks, and the guy told them, give them whatever they want for whatever they want to pay. So we go, I said, great. So we took it home, and they had to have it back on Monday so they could put the CD player in it. And so I drive up, and they say, hey, you want a car? I said, no, I'll just go over. This is Tucson. This is at Tucson Mall, remember? So I went over into the Tucson Mall, and I walked around for all day, which was, I should have gotten a car. But I walked around, and then right around, they told me come back about 4. So I get back about 4 o'clock, and the car's not there. And there's this guy standing, you know, they watch the salesman. They watch for when people come in, and they go get him, you know, go get him. You better sell this time. Go get him. You know, and so there's this guy just standing there watching his guys work out there. And my car pulls up right out front. And that guy looks at the car, turns around, looks at me. He goes, did you buy that car? I go, yes, sir. He's the manager of the place. I go, yes, sir. He goes, come with me. Cool. I go, wow, I'm in trouble now. So we go back into his office. He closes the door. And the first things he tells me is, you're a Christian. I look at him, yes, sir. I am. He goes, so am I. I said, oh, could have fooled me. No, I didn't tell him that. But I said, oh, yeah. And he goes, you know how I became manager here? I said, what? Listening to what God tells me to do. I listen to him. I pray and I listen. And I pray and I listen. He goes, and this has happened before. That's why I'm the manager. I came in here as a young man, and man, I sold more cars than anybody because God would tell me where to go. And he goes, and now I'm hearing God say, "This, give this to that person, give this to that person." He goes, I'm wondering what's going to come up next because God's been really good for me for listening to him. And he told me to give you that car for whatever you wanted to pay for it. I said, "Woo, man." You see, it's the peace of God that passes all understanding. How does it work? I got no idea. I don't know. But I know that it's in every one of you. That peace is there. and it's there to lead you and guide you. It will help you. It's the Holy Ghost. It's Him. It's one of His traits: peace, love, joy, long suffering, self control. All those things, the nine gifts of the Spirit, they're yours, and they are to display the glory of God in the earth. Can you say amen to that? Can you stand up? Let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I will say this, peace be with you. Amen. And when I was in the Catholic Church, we used to say, peace be with you, and also with you. Yeah, so peace be with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. I'm going to walk in that. Maybe there's 40. How many people are here? I don't know, but I'm going to walk in all of that. Peace be with you and also with you. Come on, man. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding. Lord, thank you for the great and precious gifts that you have given to your people for the purpose of us declaring and demonstrating your glory in the earth. Thank you for it, Father. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen.
Amen.
Hey, thank you for coming to church this morning. Come back. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.